The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. One game down of the three preseason games. The Saints go down to the Chargers 27-13 at SoFi Stadium. And joining us is Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Yeah, it's just preseason football, baby. It just is what it is.
I want to start with this observation, though. All things considered, you know, it was the first game, but this was actually the second game for the Chargers. And when you look at teams,
they played in a Hall of Fame game.
They played in a Hall of Fame game, which I think there's a, you know, big difference having two of these games under your belt, or coming in and having one under your belt already against a team that hasn't had any. When you look at the team stats, I mean, the Saints did pretty well, held their own in the stats. They just gave the ball up too many times.
Yeah, I think what the real advantage of having that first game, because, you know, nobody's playing starters, right? Justin Herbert didn't play in the first game, didn't play in the second game.
Sure.
Saints held out a ton of people. So it's situational football. So forget the score, right? Because it's not a game. They're working on two-minute offense. They're working on two-point conversion, fourth down, stuff you'd never do. So it's about individual play. But the bonus of that first game is that your team, your young guys, have been tackling to the ground and being tackled to the ground. The Saints haven't done a lot of that. You don't do a lot of that in practice. Some, but not a lot. And so, you know, kind of that all the way tackle to the ground in game one, and you get, you know, a lot of younger players that get in games, because that's who played yesterday for them and the Saints. But, yeah, so I think that's the advantage, because they beat Detroit 34-7. Detroit turned it over like four times. It was like, well, how do you evaluate that game? So I think the evaluation in these games is you look at the individual play, because the game itself, not meaningless, but the score doesn't tell you anything.
Right. So what did we learn? Obviously, we know that there's competition going on at quarterback. It seemed as though Coach Moore played both quarterbacks a lot more than I thought he would have. I know y'all talked about that during the game, and I guess maybe it was just the way the rotations came around and the situations.
Well, Spencer had a lot of plays, right? I mean, so it's not. It's not. Sometimes it's based on drive. Sometimes it's based on plays. Tyler came in at the end of the second quarter, so he got to work the two-minute offense. So, again, that's a situation. Hey, let's see how Tyler does in the two-minute offense. In a game, that would have been your starter. Spencer was 7 of 11. Tyler got to throw it more, because a lot of that was the two-minute offense. He was 15 of 22. It felt like to me, and Deuce talked about this, that it was they both – And Jake as well, they're playing not to lose the job, right? Take the underneath, take the easy stuff. But what happens is the cornerbacks and the safeties just start, they know that. They just start sitting on it. And so Tyler made a rookie mistake, and it ended up being a pick six. And after that, you know, that's when he took a couple of deep shots, the route to Kevin Austin and the pass to Mason Tipton. And that's what we wanted to see, but we really didn't see any of that just beyond those two plays. So I don't think any quarterback, it's hard to say, you know, until you really see. I thought Spencer had a couple of good throws, and he got, you know, they had drops. Tyler had the pick six. Jake actually got hurt a little bit. Not sure. Actually, Tyler, you know, got a bruised knee at this point. We don't know about the injuries. You know, they're off today. It's basically a walkthrough. They won't practice till tomorrow at 4, so it'll be late tomorrow before we really kind of get a hand on Will Clapp, Trevor Penning, Bub Means, and Mason Plyne. So, you know, the question is, did either quarterback take a step forward? I'm not sure. I think you're right. They both played a long time, because you got to find out. Somebody's got to separate themselves in this competition. Don't think that's happened yet.
I don't know. I've always been a big Will Clapp fan, and I think he went out play three or something. Maybe it was so early in the game. I just thinking back to past seasons, I'm like, oh my God, don't tell me we're starting on this truck again. You know, we'd have offensive line after offensive lineman going out.
Right. So Eric McCoy didn't start. That's what happened to Eric McCoy in week three against Philly. It's like the third play of the game. So, and Trevor, we just don't know, right? And so, but Torricelli Simpkins, who was like your number four, he all of a sudden he's like, you want me to do what? He played like the whole game.
He played like a bandit. He played well.
Yeah. And so the offensive line was everywhere. You had Dylan Redunz playing right guard, right tackle. Everybody was moving around. I mean, so, there were some bright spots. Isaiah Stallberg, Valus Jones, Kendre Miller, Christian Boyd, Kai Kroger. So that's what I mean. I think you start to kind of look at individual play. The Chargers stats, to me, what's alarming is that they ran it for 148 yards still, and you knew they were going to run it. That's Jim Harbaugh, and they had the lead. They were going to run it. So when a team tells you they're going to run the ball and you don't stop it, to me, that's still an issue. But, I don't have Chase Young, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis. I don't have my players out there. So I don't get too up or down. I think part of the issue early on from an offensive standpoint is that you had drives, right? They had in the first half, they had an 8-play, a 9-play, a 10-play drive that netted 3 points. They also had a 6-play drive after the muffed punt where they turned it over on downs. They got 0 points. So you have opportunities. You have these long, drives and plays and yards don't get you anything. It's points. And they've got to be able to do a better job of turning long drives into points. Eric Rodgers, an all-star game for the Chargers, it was a bad throw by Tyler. But it comes from a first half of taking the easy, short routes and quarterbacks sitting there. Waiting for it. And so you got to make him play honest. You got to throw it deep. You got to let it loose. That's what he did after that.
Interesting to me. I think you're always looking for physicality, right? What was your sense there?
Up and down, inconsistent. I think there were times where I felt like the Charger defense had penetration, a little too much penetration, but, I look at that offensive line and go, that's not my offensive line. And the Saints, I think, had some opportunities for penetration and to make big plays, and it was kind of feast or famine. They either did or they didn't. I thought Christian Boyd, I understand the rule and as it's written in black and white, but if that's not a safety, then, the goal line should be like the 10-yard line, right? If that play happens at the 10-yard line and Christian Boyd starts to make the tackle at the 10-yard line, right at the 10-yard line, but he is actually tackled at the 5-yard line, they don't put the ball back at the 10. They put it at the 5. That's where he got tackled. There's no forward progress. He was going backwards. But to say that at the goal line, at first contact, the ball is outside of the end zone, so that's not a safety. But if that had been the 10-yard line, they wouldn't have put the ball at the 10. I mean, the goal line to me should be treated like the 10 and the 20 and the 30, right? It's not like I've never, Deuce and I talked about it. Like, it's first contact. Yeah, at first contact, the ball was minimally outside the end zone. Well, first contact don't mean anything. Sorry. That would make me mad.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I get it. I kind of feel the same way. I mean, you bounce off a guy that slams you, you know, right inside the line of scrimmage, and you know, you end up taking a step forward in the end zone. You get tackled. You know, I like you believe it should be a safety.
Right.
So, Mike, all things considered, when we're looking at this, we have two more preseason games. What are we looking for? You know, and I guess, and I don't know when the timing of the first roster reductions occur.
They don't have them anymore.
So they don't have any of that until after the preseason.
They let you keep all 90. They just say, "Take that, you play-by-play people. We're keeping all 90 for three games."
we really want to test your acuity here.
That's right. But I mean, a lot of them don't play. They just don't tell you who's not going to play. Right? All those guys that I talked about in that list were all dressed for the warm-ups,
right?
And then they went in and put on black sweatpants. So I think, you know, well, first off, they're going to it appears.
So what do we need to show that gives you a level of confidence going into the first game that you feel like we're on the right track?
They're going to have a joint practice now with the Rams, it sounds like, on Thursday. So that was not planned. That's good. You get a lot of phenomenal work out of joint practices because it's like a game, but you do your situational stuff. You do fourth down. You do 2-minute. You do all that stuff, and you're not going to. It's a game with. It's basically a preseason game. I need to see better tackling. I need to see. You know, the one thing we talked about, Deuce and Kellen Moore, is like, I want to see a clean game, right? Well, guess what? That was far from a clean game. It felt so much like last season. 3rd and 19. 3rd and 20. You make a good play. Penalty brings it back. You know, you do something good, but on the other side of the field, there's a defensive holding, automatic first down. It's just so they got to clean it up. They got to clean it up, and it's new. It's a new defense. You know, it's hard to really evaluate when you're not playing your starters. You start looking at, you know, basically you're looking at the draft class, and I want to see one of the quarterbacks have some separation. And maybe that starts with the Rams because that is like a preseason game. I think we're going to see probably in week three, the Denver game. I don't know. I don't think we'll see a lot of the starters. So you're talking about a Rams practice and the Jacksonville game to make some pretty key decisions about your depth chart and who's going to be where. And so that, you know, that has to happen in the next, well, good gosh, in the next week. The joint practice will be Thursday, and the Jacksonville game is Sunday. The beauty of it is a little bit is that you get your home. Like the Saints come home on the 15th, and they're back. Jacksonville, Denver, Arizona, San Francisco. Four straight home games, kind of settle in. So I think you don't get too high from a preseason game. You don't get too low. You know, you don't like the injuries. The injuries, you know, they have been able to avoid that thus far to an extent. But the only reason they're playing the Rams in the joint practice on Thursday is because the Chargers backed out because of too many injuries. So that's, to me, is just a cleaner game and get some separation in that quarterback race.
Yeah, I forgot that the roster reduction now is all the way at the end. I totally forgot about that because that makes a big difference, right? I mean,
well,
the whole dynamic changes.
Because they didn't have huge, because it was, I went from like 90 to 85 to 80. So you lost players. But quite frankly, I mean, this is a better way to do it. Because when you get to 80 in that week three game, and you were at 80 players, you're playing starters. And you don't want to play starters, right? I think the 90 is definitely the way to go. I think you need to see all of these guys, and you'll see some of the challenge that the Saints have is that it's a new offense, a new coach, a new defense, a new coach, and you got guys like Justin Reed and Julian Blackman, safeties, they've never played together, right? So you want some, how do you play some, but not a lot, but it's got to be beneficial. Again, I go back to the joint practice. They're going to get, that's where they'll get more benefit out of that with the Rams on Thursday, I think, because you can play Julian Blackman and Justin Reed back there a lot against another team. And it's controlled. I mean, you're tackling, but it's controlled.
It's controlled, right. But yet another opportunity to see what's out there and where people will end up falling out. Great job on Sunday. Look forward to hearing you guys again this Sunday with the Saints taking on the Jaguars. 12 o'clock start time back at the Caesar Superdome. So, in fact, you said, they're going to be home 4 weeks in a row, right? And you guys come back when? Saturday?
The 15th. We fly, they fly back the 15th. We fly back the 15th. So. And they'll do a walkthrough on Saturday at the Dome, I think, and get in the building. That building is a cavernous, right? Your first time in there, I mean, that you need to get in there and see the lights and punt and do some kick returns, but then they'll be there, right? With Jacksonville the next day, and then Denver and Sean Payton coming to town. So these are important. I mean, they're just important. Yeah. Not games and records. I don't. Last year, the Saints beat Arizona in the opening preseason game. Charlie Smith hit the game-winning field goal. What did it mean? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Right.
So, whatever.
Right. No doubt. But it's part of the gig, right? You got the game.
Yeah.
You call the game.
You got to get down to your 53. You know, it's 53-17. Right, so you're not really eliminating a ton of people.
You can bring
17
true.
Back to your practice squad. You keep 53. We're not cutting 50 people here. It's an elimination process.
Right.
Some of these guys will be hurt, and quite frankly, you'll see some roster changes. Still, they're going to go out and get some people.
No doubt, for sure. As always, always appreciate your time and your insight. Great job on Sunday. Look forward to this Sunday. Have a great week.
Thank you, pal. Talk to you soon.
Okay, man. That's Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.